right, guys, puck off. Here we are. And Joe Bartnick over there, our co-host.
What's up, Captain Frage?
Everything's good, buddy. Look who our guest is. Uh-oh. Our favorite.
Yeah, Earl Skakel's here.
The most knowledgeable hockey guy.
What up?
Rollerball extraordinaire. Not rollerball, it's the street. He still plays the orange ball, clocked at 100. The Al Iafredi of Southern California.
Yeah, man, he's got a shot.
Well, I actually bought one of Zdeno Chara sticks.
Did you really? How much for?
It's $300.
Wow.
It came in the mail. I had to chop 4 inches off of it because it was so tall.
Because you're pretty tall, but he's 6'8".
He's 9 inches bigger.
Wow.
And then skates.
Well, okay, yeah, let's clarify that.
And then skates.
Yeah, so his stick is probably 6'4".
Wow. But it gives you a rocket shot, huh?
Yeah, well, his sticks are so custom made for him, they'll never break. They're as hard as his table. And his blade, I could kill someone if I, connected.
So it's his actual stick. So you ordered them as an autograph, from Boston Bruins or from the company that makes them for Chara.
I think this one in particular was from a memorabilia store in Boston.
Okay,
and he signed the blade, but I actually wiped the autograph off so I could play on it.
Wow, dude! Wow. So you got a 100-mile-an-hour shot?
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
Well, the ball, they freeze the ball in a little cooler, so it's hard. Yeah. It's almost as hard as a puck.
Wow. I don't want to play goalie in that league.
Oh, no. The goalies most wear ice hockey pads.
Do they?
It's no joke.
Absolutely. We were talking about this last week. I mean, the orange ball, that's how I grew up playing hockey. That thing hurts just like everything. I mean, everything else that hits you.
Now, did you see where Babcock had the Canadian Olympic team doing street ball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great for the hand-eye.
The guys all said they liked it. Crosby said he actually learned some stuff doing it.
That's how you get the hands. Have you been watching the season revealed? Or that it's like, it was kind of like 24/7, but it's like a season revealed on the NHL Network. Or it's on the NBC, SN. It's like behind the scenes. The Penguins. Right.
The Penguins one. I saw some of that.
Well, they have one all the time called In the Room because they're kind of media whores. It actually kind of pisses me off. Like, hey, why don't you actually practice as opposed to... running interview times, but that's a whole nother story. But no, there's one the NHL reveal. They show everyone going over to Moscow in the private jet. It's pretty neat, and they show practice. Did you see that one?
Yeah, it was awesome.
See, I watched the Oilers one, oil change.
Yeah, it's the same kind of.
And that's same thing.
Yeah. I never get sick of it watching guys live my dream.
Well, I don't like the fact that they've got a better TV queue than me.
Yeah,
they're just getting all that airtime, and they're players. Come on, guys,
you'll get it, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding, and it's I used to know guys like Jimmy Fox when they were playing. Now he's a pretty good announcer.
Yeah,
he's a great announcer.
Yeah,
you're actually spoiled, Frage, because as you know, me in the package, I watch 10 games a night. Jimmy Fox and the Hall of Famer are probably the best team out there on television.
Well, that Hall of Famer is the great announcer. I don't know if he gets enough credit, Bob Miller.
Well, out here, not really.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's as good as Vinny in my book.
If he was in Toronto.
Probably. Yeah. He's in the Hall of Fame. That's all you have to know about. Yeah. I mean, the disgrace is Penguins, and as they get back to the Penguins, but Mike Lang, the Fox or whoever doesn't want to pay him the money, so now he just does the radio games for the Penguins. Isn't that a crock? Just how money ruins everything in sports.
Ruins everything anywhere.
Yeah.
That's how it is. Well, you know what? I watched the game last night. I haven't watched a game in a while, as you can tell, folks.
You're busy.
My buddy, that's right. My buddy, the professor. Professor. I had mixed feelings last night because the professor got lit up by his former team.
He got his suntan. The red light kept going on behind him. His neck got red.
Yeah, that was...
But he made 46 saves.
He had a pretty good game. Yeah, he did.
And Richards speared him in the end. I mean...
Yeah, I saw that.
Richards, he doesn't care. You're not my teammate anymore.
You can take him out of Philly, but you can't take Philly out of him.
Well, and Richards, he cut him off in the cafeteria when he was with the Kings, so you had a little payback there.
7-0.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. The Kings are wishing for another Olympic break.
Yeah, it really helped them.
That did them the best of anyone.
They were putrid the month before the Olympic break. I went to every Thursday night game. Other than Kopitar, nobody was scoring. Maybe Daugherty would get a one, but that was it. Now everyone's scoring.
Well, Carter was great in the Olympics, and then he's been continuing that.
You know, wait till Gaborik starts pumping.
Now, what about Gaborik? They got him. Everybody's saying, you know, what a great goal scorer. 40 goal scorer, what, three times? How is he okay, though? He was injured.
He's very injury prone.
Yeah.
He's not the biggest body, but he's very hard to play against. So when he is healthy.
Fast.
So that's a good pickup.
He's fast. He's got great hands. I thought it was, if you read, you know, my people read my blog, Bartnik in the Box. I gave my trade review.
I saw it for the first time today. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, thank you. A. Absolute A. They got rid of Fratton, who's a skirt. It was a crime they traded Bernier, and they only got him back. My daughter has more guts than he would in the corner. And then they got Gabrick. They stole Gabrick. What did the Kings need? They need a
Who'd they have to give up to get Gabrick?
Nobody. Like maybe a pick or something? I mean,
Fratton, a second, and a third.
Exactly. Picks are like, you know, picks are like golf tees.
Yeah. I mean, well, Fratton was a skirt.
Yeah. And then it's
I didn't know that, but I love it when he says it.
He's just no desire. He's got great skills, good skater for a big guy, good hands, but he just doesn't want it.
Just nothing. Right. Just nothing. Just nothing. Goodbye. He belongs in Columbus. He really does. He belongs in. But getting back to the positive, I mean, Gabrick, well, they need a guy that has speed that can score on the wing. I put the Kings right back in to the top.
Now, why would
one
someone
or two out west? I really do. If he doesn't get hurt and wants to, he's probably playing for a contract. So, I mean, Gabrick's going to be tough.
Why would Columbus give up a guy like that?
He's a little injury prone. In Columbus, there's everyone seems like Jeff Carter. People just want to get out of Columbus.
Well,
it's a cow town. And it's not a hockey town, and they're never going to go anywhere. I mean, they might this year because the East is so down. They might lose in five to somebody.
It's all about Buckeye football.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and then you get to it gets a new lease on life.
And he makes $7 million a year, so.
Oh, well, that's another reason.
And the Kings got Columbus to pay half his salary. I mean, Lombardi's a great GM.
He has done a good job.
Because he got a lot of grief in San Jose for building great regular season teams. And then they'd crap out in the playoffs. But the Kings are the complete opposite.
And, man, the Kings, they're coming on.
Yep, but we were asked by fans, what do we think about the King? Or what do we think about the Sharks? And I've said it a few times on this program. I think this is a different year for the Sharks. I actually think they have a chance to go deep into the playoffs, maybe the Western Conference Finals. They have the Emmy, great goaltenders, already won a cup. They have some good – their defensemen are good, and they've mixed it up a little bit up front. I mean, I think Hurdle's going to come back. They got Kennedy.
I love that Hurdle.
Kennedy's in the mix. Yeah. He's from Pittsburgh. He scored some big goals in the playoffs. Not the greatest regular season guy. And then, you know, Thornton's playing tough. I mean, I'm telling you, the Sharks are different this year. I can see them going – they're going to definitely win a round, I think.
Well,
unless they play the Kings, which looks like they might. Then I'm picking the Kings. But, I mean –
Well, the knock on them has always been playoffs. You know, they always have a great regular season, and they've got great fans.
But last year, they won a round. That's why I think the mojo kind of changed a little bit.
But now St. Louis with Ryan Miller and Ott, they're in the mix, too.
They have that same knock,
though. Let me tell you something about St. Louis. They never win playoff series. There's never been a more overrated veteran.
Now, why is it
than Steve Ott? What has Steve Ott ever won except a cheap shot contest?
Yeah, but that's what you need in the playoffs.
You need cheap shot.
And they have enough of those guys. I would have rather had the guy they traded, to be honest with you, the big black power forward.
Oh, Stuart. Yeah, but he's kind of like almost like a black Fratton. He just doesn't want.
No, he plays every now and then. Though he plays, you know, he. It's like a broken clock. He's right twice a day. I mean, Fratton never did anything. I mean, you know when Toronto gives up on you. Look, at Toronto keeps everyone 5 years too long. When Toronto gives up on you, you really have no time.
I just like the idea that there's a black Fratton. Yeah, you know, but why is it the
you're going to really insult Chris? Not Chris Johnson,
Chris Stewart.
Chris, you're really going to, I mean, come on.
Well, he's half black Fratton.
No, but seriously, he fights. Stewart has some game. I mean, if anything, he takes immature bad penalties more than
I actually like his brother, Anthony Stewart. He was a very high first-round pick, but kind of, you know, he busted out.
Oh, really?
The Kings traded for him last year. I think he's in the Kings system.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You are absolutely – he knows Earl.
Oh, this guy knows.
Earl knows his stuff.
Yeah, he knows. Now –
But Miller, I mean, I don't think – I'm sorry, Frazier.
No.
I don't think Miller – you know, I mean –
He looks pretty good so far.
He looks pretty good.
He's a good goalie.
He's a good goalie, but I mean, he's never really faced the West, the onslaught of the West before, because I mean, Miller hasn't been in, he hasn't faced live rounds in a long time.
But I mean, Buffalo is so bad defensively. It was St. Louis and Hitchcock's system. He's going to be pretty tough.
Well, I would think so. But you know, and you have St. Louis here as an A minus because they got him, and they got you know, the only thing is, why do these teams that are good during the regular season fade? Traditionally, St. Louis always has.
Because St. Louis doesn't have enough goal scorers to score when everybody plays defense, when everything gets tighter.
So when things get tighter in the playoffs.
When penalties aren't called, when you're not on your power play, when you got to go 5-on-5 and score goals. I mean, maybe this year, maybe Oshie's got some confidence. I like Backes. I mean, they have a good team. They just, I mean, the Kings sweep them. The Kings beat them like redheaded stepkids. I mean, every time they face a team that actually can muck it up with the Ken Hitchcock bullshit and score, they beat them. But now they're going to have a little bit better goaltending, you know? I mean, I never thought Halak was a bad goaltender. Halak was good in Montreal. The problem is Hitchcock is one of those overcoaches. He wanted to have two goaltenders and see what happens. Well, when you have two goaltenders, it means you have no goaltenders.
I mean, the West is going to be brutal in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I like Anaheim. I thought Anaheim did great. I don't know why they got rid of Penner. But picking up Stefan Robitas, that was a great. I don't know why Dallas is in the playoffs. Why did Dallas go to Robitas?
Penner. I don't think they should.
And you know,
like Penner.
I like Penner too. Penner shows up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, if Washington makes the playoffs, they're going to be happy they got him.
Hey, did you go down to Anaheim for that game?
I did not.
Have you ever gone to see? I know you always go to see Pittsburgh if they play the Kings.
Yes,
Go see Ducks?
I went once. The Duck Arena is, and if you live in Southern California or have any idea of it, it's for where my house takes 3 hours to get there on a Friday.
Oh, it's a schleppy drive down the 5, especially on a Friday.
I usually go see them play Phoenix instead of the Ducks. It's an easier drive.
It's an actual, takes less time.
It takes less time, and I can stub up ticket for $4.
Well, it takes 2 hours to get out of the fucking parking lot.
I know.
It's
yeah.
like one exit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
that's crazy.
Well, you see, the game was a great game, but you see the bottom bowl was empty the whole first period. Everyone was in traffic.
Sure. That always happens there.
Yeah.
Now, what happened? And they lost a shootout. Ducks, who've had a great year, lost two shootouts there, though.
Yeah. Well, My theory with the Ducks is, I mean, they got Robitas is a good, solid defenseman. That's a great pickup. My only thing against the Ducks is Bruce Boudreau doesn't win playoff series.
Ducks are great. Right. I mean, they're going to be tough. I mean, they can score.
Yeah,
that's how they got RoboCop.
Horrible remake, by the way. I saw it.
Was it bad?
Oh, it was awful. Awful.
Really? Wow.
It's not RoboCop without Kurtwood Smith.
Yeah, you got to have Kurtwood, man.
Clarence Boddicker,
man. Yeah, man, he was awesome.
I think Anaheim's the second. I would rank, if I did pick a power pole, I'd pick Anaheim second in the West to win the cup. The Kings third.
Who's first?
The Blackhawks.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even, I mean, black. I mean, it's crazy.
The West is crazy.
There's going to be some really good teams losing in the first round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least one of them is going to be either going to be like Sharks versus Kings, or if the Sharks win a couple more and the Anaheim drops a little bit, it's going to be Kings Ducks. It's going to be a war.
Oh, that'd
be a war. Who do you like in that series? I've asked this 100 times.
I kind of like the Kings.
I do too.
I mean, I would root for the Kings, but I think, I mean, the Ducks are pretty good this year.
Kings are coming on, though.
Kings are coming, especially with Gavrik. I mean, that just they really have three really good lines now.
Well, we were looking at who they were going to pick up. They needed some scoring. Like you said, they weren't scoring. They got the perfect guy.
Yeah. And I mean, they're scratching Green. The defensemen are playing good, that they're even scratching Green.
Well, they have a very slow defense, which might be their downfall. And, you know, Mitchell's slow. Green is like a 18-wheeler turning around. And
Muzzin's fast. Voinov's fast. Daugherty's fast.
But, I mean, and Regier, who I love, goes to the Comedy Store a lot.
Does he?
Yeah. He's massive guy. I mean,
he's old school.
Yeah.
Is that Sarah's friend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just a huge guy. But, you know, he's maybe not the fastest guy. So that's three slow guys on the D who play. That might be a problem.
Well, it could be.
You need a couple slow guys. Two slow guys ain't bad.
Three.
Yeah, three's pushing it.
But the three fast guys are fast.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know.
Well, the key is what you guys are saying, though. The West is loaded. And we've known that. I mean, it really is. It's going to be a wild shootout there. And then the East, who do you like coming out of the East?
I like Boston. I hate this. I mean, I don't even hate to say it. It's just the truth. The Penguins needed that Buffalo trade. Minnesota, for some reason, thinks they're going to be contenders. They got McCormick and Molson, and that's who for nothing. It's the funny thing about the deadline this year was, other than St. Louis, which they had to give up Callahan to get, no one gave up anything for anybody.
Oh, the Islanders got hosed, man. I mean, yeah. That GM is awful. He gave up a ton to get Vanek, a ton.
Yeah.
And then lets him go to Montreal for really nothing.
And Vanek is a perfect, the coach, I love it, Michel Therrien, pulls no punches. Vanek is the perfect player for Michel Therrien. He is soft. Yeah.
He's a skirt.
Yeah. He thinks he play hard. But he does not.
McDonald, too.
Yeah.
Oh, McDonald's great.
McDonald went to Philly. He's in Philly. I think I understand was Boston got Mazzaros, whatever. Like, Philly dumped him. Like, Philly needed him, and he's terrible. I don't know what Boston sees in that clown.
McDonald's, he's just a shot-blocking machine.
Yeah, but he's like an orange cone in some ways. You don't skate around him.
Well, yeah.
No, I
stick him with a fast guy.
but he's a shot blocker, but he's not overly physical. Like Reguerre is a slow guy, but he'll knock your head off.
Oh, that's
the difference between being there's a difference between being slow. I mean, to me, a shot blocker is the guy who was Pittsburgh heading went back to Phoenix because he couldn't do nothing in the East. I'll look him up. I will look him up because he just it was like an orange.
Let's color. Look him up. And I want to say Earl's. Got this great hobby of collecting Goons jerseys from all different leagues.
But now I want to sell them all.
You want to sell them all now?
Yeah, yeah. I don't wear them anymore. I'm in my 40s. Shouldn't be wearing them.
You don't wear them on stage?
No.
Oh, okay, because that was the cool thing. He would say, I'm going to wear your jersey on stage, so please send me a jersey. And he got a million Goon jerseys. Some of them actually had blood still on them.
Yeah.
He'd wear them on stage. They're awesome. I mean, they're awesome.
He was so known for that one time for Halloween, I went as a I just wore my hockey jersey. People thought I went as
Earl
for
Halloween. Thought it was Earl.
People would come up to me in airports and go, you're that guy who wears the hockey jersey.
Wow.
Which is what I wanted.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. It got so bad at one point that GMs from hockey, various hockey leagues, would call me up and say, hey, do you know where I can get hold of Roger Maxwell? We see you have a lot of his jerseys.
That's hilarious.
And I would get these guys gigs.
Oh, really? Yeah.
There was this one league in Quebec. It's like an open mic hockey league, but it's all fights and a lot of busted guys like Fratton go up there and just make a few bucks and
he wouldn't last in that league.
No, he would not.
He's a skirt. Come on. Yeah.
One team was owned by the Hells Angels.
Really?
And they paid guys fight bonuses. It's still
going
on.
Oh, that's wild, man. So. Now, I was going to say, rate a goon. Rate the goons.
I mean, the modern day ones, there are none. None to rate. Probably the best fighter right now is, there's
McGrattan.
McGrattan's tough. This guy, Gatsik on Edmonton, he just knocked out Westgarth cold.
Yeah.
Gatsik. Yeah.
I mean, there's really no heavyweights anymore. They're extinct.
Wow. So it's just those two guys at the top?
I mean, McIntyre doesn't really play much.
He's on the farm system.
Yeah. He'll never get called up. I mean, the Kings have a couple middleweight guys. It's the day of the heavyweight goon is over.
That's over, huh? And why is that?
It's the game's evolved where you can't have a guy who can't skate anymore.
You need someone who can skate.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of think it's just I think that's just a load of crap. I think they just wanted to get rid of the goons.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I think there's still room for them.
Oh, I do.
And I'd rather they'd be there than the rats.
And the rats are?
Matt Cook.
Lapierre.
Yeah, Lapierre. The guy, half the Flyers.
Ott.
Yeah, Ott's a little bit more stand-up-ish, but...
Downey.
Downey, for sure.
He gets a pass, though, because of his hearing problem.
Yeah, Downey. I'd punch Downey myself. Downey's a joke.
But he's got some skill. You know,
don't apologize for Downey. He's tried to injure more people. He's a classless rat. The guy from You know, they used to be, he was a king. He just got traded to the Rangers.
Oh, Carcillo.
Carcillo's a rat.
He's out of his mind.
Yeah. Like, there's just, because they just go around hurting people. And you need a 250-pound guy to break their heads.
But you got the instigator still, and guys are afraid to, like, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, if you touched Yzerman, Probert wouldn't care about the extra, you know, penalties. Now it's like a 10-minute misconduct. It's two for fighting with a shield on, and, you know, it's...
Yeah, that makes you think about it. So who, let's rate the goons of all time.
Oh, Probert.
He's my favorite.
He was without a doubt the
king. He wins every puck off debate.
Plus, guess what? A great skater, great player.
Oh, yeah. Made the All-Star game.
Yeah, man.
29 goals and 398 penalty minutes 1 year. That's crazy.
You got to love that.
You love the 4,200 guy. I mean, that was my favorite era, the early 90s. All the big power forwards, they could just 200 pounds.
You know, I had 40 goals. On my old radio show one night, I had the old Kings on. I had Robitaille was on. I think Jim Fox. They were talking off during a commercial off mic, and they were like, Probert had just come into the league, and they go, I'm afraid of that guy. I actually heard them say that. That guy scares me, you know.
Well, the thing with him was, even if you beat Probert, you'd have to fight Koser because they were like a tag team.
Right.
You know, so you know, there was no winning.
No winning.
Even by winning. It's like, and Probert would ask for a rematch. You'd have to fight him again. So you had to, like, if you beat him once, you knew you'd have to fight Koser and then Probert again. So
that's a long road.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Probert's coked up. You know, he's probably not feeling any punches.
Didn't feel any of that.
So, and Koser's right hand is now, it's, if you ever meet Joey Koser, look at his right hand. It's unrecognizable as a hand.
Really?
In Probert's defense, though, a lot of guys were under the influence of a lot of things back in those days.
Back in those days, sure.
Yeah. I'm not trying to throw the league under the bus, but, I mean, he wasn't the only guy.
Oh, yeah.
No, but great fighter, great scorer, a bad drug runner.
Yeah, Bad Mule.
Yeah, Bad Mule. There's a movie.
Well, actually, I just got contacted to help with the Derek Bougard movie. They're making the Boogeyman. I think they're trying to get a movie in development about him.
Really?
And they're like, it's kind of like that GM's contacting me. They're like, hey, we see you have a few of his jerseys. We don't know a lot about hockey. And it's a major producer. I mean, big.
Right.
And he's like, would you...
Is that the guy from the Goon documentary, too? I mean, wasn't he in that?
Yeah, he might have been a little bit. But
well, there's a new one. I don't know if you heard about it. It premiered in Pittsburgh. It's been around now. It's about Chris Nyland.
Gladiators.
Yeah.
Oh, Nyland, yeah.
Have you seen that one? I heard it's awesome.
Well, they actually have a few guys from that Quebec Goon League.
Well, they said it was supposed to be about 9 guys, but then Nyland was just so intriguing. They just made it all about
very
him.
Very sad. You know, he's just, you know, he had issues with his dad. And most of those fighters,
he's the Jake the Snake of hockey.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much, you know, kind of bitter and, yeah. You know, didn't save his money. And, you know, I mean, he probably made at the most maybe $300,000 or $400,000 at his peak. And, you know, he pissed that away. And, you know, I mean, Bougard was making like $1.5 million toward the end.
What are they going to do with Bougard there? Are they going to make it all like, are they going to try to pin it on him being a goon? I hate all that.
I mean,
because then you see goons like Gribson, who fought 1,000 more times than Bougard did. And the guy's a lawyer.
The Grim Reaper.
You know what I mean? I mean, the guy's a lawyer. I mean, you know, he's not, you know, committing suicide in a hotel room. You know,
I mean, it's a sad story. I think they'll probably, small town guy, didn't really like fighting, did it because he was 6'8" and killed everyone. And then...
Oh, no. And now he's dead. Oh, you know, I don't feel sorry for that guy.
Ends up in New York, a big city, basically wandering the streets on pain meds.
Oh, man.
But, you know, who knows? I'm going to get into...
He'd have been bailing hay if he wasn't fighting.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
I don't know. But it's the same thing with the guy, the NFL guy. Got a concussion now. It's like, what was he going to do? Rob a bank when he was 20? Like,
probably.
Well, I remember they showed a picture of Bobby Hull on Sports Illustrated. And he was all buffed up, you know. But it was back pre-weight days. People didn't work out back then with weights. He was all buffed up from baling hay, like you said. That's
the old
do.
Farm boys.
Yeah. They go in the off season and work on the farm.
We always talk about Bobby Hull because, you know, he's the original six. They were showing clips of him in the old Detroit Chicago rivalry on NBC, just creaming the puck.
Oh man! Now there's a shot.
Yeah, people Wood were ducking. Oh yeah,
there's
just
a shot.
People just ducking, just like heading for. And that's what they said. He would The first one, he'd just send right at the goalie's head. So then he'd be so scared, he could shoot it anywhere, and it would go in after the first one.
Sure.
They said he would miss on purpose so it would hit the glass and make this, you know, crazy sound, and then the goalies would be like,
good night.
Well, yeah. Hey, that'll scare you. I was interviewing some Kings, and I was interviewing Scuderi a couple of years ago, and just for fun, Green was on IR, so he was shooting pucks. He put one right at my head level against the glass. Yeah. I jumped about 20 feet, like, woo! It was loud.
Well, if you have a chance, you should go to the Kings practice rink when Sheldon Saraes, I think he's on Anaheim, he's got the hardest shot in the league, and it's just frightening.
Wow. Well, it's not as hard as Skakel's street hockey shot.
Yeah, if you go on SoCalStreetHockey.com, you'll see who's at the top of the bronze and copper scoring.
Nice,
has
bro.
Anybody ever offered you like a low, like, could you be the wheeling nailer?
I mean, I can't skate that good. I'm like Goldberg in the Mighty Ducks. Yeah. I've got a great shot, but I can't stop very well, and I can barely skate backwards. But you know, I'd be a good goon in the late 70s.
Yeah, you'd be good. Yeah.
Could you throw him decently enough in the NHL?
I mean, I don't have a great reflexes, but if I feel threatened, I think I'd be a pretty good fighter.
He's pretty strong.
Yeah, no, he's, yeah. He's...
We took him to the boxing gym, and the boxers were blown away at his strength. Yeah, they were. These little boxer guys, right?
These world champions.
World champs, man.
Little Mexican guys, and Joe Goosen had me, like, spar with him, which was crazy, because I have no coordination, so they're like, give us 2-3-2, and I'm like, come on, man.
But then after he was done, these guys are great boxers, too, little, you know, bantamweights. Yeah, world champs. They're like, hey, that guy's pretty strong. They were giving you props.
That was the best workout I've ever had in my life, and it was like 5 minutes.
It's yeah, boxing
easy
workout's good.
When they ain't hitting you back.
Yeah, right.
No, I used to go to my buddy's dojo in San Francisco. He'd be like, I know when you're downstairs because I hear the bags popping.
Yeah.
And my one buddy who's is a high up there, he brings me in the workout, and I'll hit the bags forever, just like Rocky. But right. Man, when they start coming back at your head, you know, I'm ready for a beer.
Check, please.
I don't need that. Yeah. Everybody has a plan until you get hit in the face. Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know,
that's right.
When Brock Lesnar went to the UFC, I don't think he really digged getting hit for real. I think I'll go back to wrestling.
Yeah, that's
which
a little
is very tough still, but it
still
ain't,
tough.
It ain't UFC.
No, it's not. But those guys have to. I could see where they'd get injured too. They're flying over the ropes.
But there is a hockey goon named Steve Bossy who the UFC just signed.
Did they really? Yeah,
they have a card coming up in Quebec, and he's from Quebec. So
interesting.
He's just Donald Brashear actually has gotten into MMA.
Brashear did?
It's not, you know, they're giving him tomato cans to build up his record.
Well, but, sure. He's a pretty good fighter in the NHL, though.
Yeah, but he lost.
He ducked McSorley.
I thought he did.
Literally. He ducked McSorley.
On the rematch. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the biggest, one of the biggest crocks the NHL has ever done.
But
yeah.
I don't think McSorley meant to hurt him with
exactly.
a stick. He was just trying to get the rematch.
Yeah, and the way they made McSorley out to be like, you know, he was like a criminal. It was like...
Well, first of all, Brashear was breaking code.
Yeah, he did break the code on several fronts. One, he was supposed to give him the rematch. You're just supposed to.
Right, you're supposed to, right? Yeah.
And then he went by the bench and did the hand wiping.
No.
But he got that. He got back tenfold when Wade Belak, who's another enforcer who's, you know, no longer with us, beat him up. Knocked him out, and then he stood over him and did the hand wiping.
Oh, did he do that?
It was great.
Wow. Yeah. Payback.
It's funny because I never thought, rest in peace, but I never thought Belak was that great of a goon either. I never thought he could take Brashear.
Oh, well, it was a toe-to-toe fight, and you could say it was a lucky punch, but he did right on the chin.
Yeah, no, you know what I mean, though. Belak was never one of the best fighters I out there. He was just a big guy.
Yeah, it's kind of like Regeer, you know, could fight if he had to, but
I think Regeer's a better player than Belak was.
And Belak's probably the better fighter, was.
Yeah.
So sad that these guys just, you know.
Now, we were talking about earlier with the wrestlers. If you're juicing... You're going to have some problems down the line, right? I'm not saying the hockey guys do.
Well, I think I know one guy who did.
Some of the goons probably do, right?
Yeah. I was a celebrity endorser on his clothing line.
Oh, okay. So you know.
Yeah, I mean, you saw him in the shirt, in the box without his shirt on. It's like, you don't get that build.
Oli Wah? Right.
You know, I don't want to. Yeah, yeah.
What really was it? Oli Wah?
Yeah. He had a clothing line called KOgear.com.
Right.
He's a Polish hammer.
And he's like, I would have these conversations with him where, you know, it was like a FUBU style. Like, you know, like,
yeah, dude, yeah, yeah.
Nobody's going to buy these things. You're a white guy from Poland.
Yeah, this is a great topic, because what happened to him in the NHL? Because he was when the Devils were on the height of their winning cups with their traps and Scott Stevens still playing, it was like, and then he came out of the minors. And it was like, oh my God, now they have the toughest guy since Probert, and then he was crushing people. And then he went around. He played great for Pittsburgh or fought great for Pittsburgh, but then he's a, what I mean, then he started getting killed.
I mean, he ended up with the Rangers and started a great brawl in Columbus where he took the face off and just cross-checked the guy in the face. And then I think he ended up in Boston and Calgary. You know, he just got a little older, and then these guys started getting bigger than he was. You know, the McIntyres, the Bougards. I mean, I don't think he was used to fighting guys bigger than him.
So there were some big guys back in the
– you know, back in the last great era of fighting, I mean, Bougard's 6'8", you know, McIntyre's 6'5". You know, these guys are just animals now.
And it's true in general, right? Isn't that one of the basic differences in today's game is that they're bigger?
Oh, yeah, bigger, stronger, faster, and then the rank is still the same size. So it's, you know, it's like...
Yeah, the big, the powered forwards that we loved as kids, you know, like Stevens and Shanahan, those guys, they're normal guys that size. I mean, that's like almost the normal size now.
I
mean,
yeah, but I still think Shanny could do some damage today.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why he loved Shanny. I mean, because Shanny had the hands. I mean, he could fight in. It's like when you get to a point where people know you can win the fight, then they give you space, then you get to show off your hands.
Right.
Then you score 600 goals.
I think my favorite,
you know,
Shanahan fight was when Brashear was running around and he nailed Jager and he was taking cheap shots at everyone. And Shanahan fought him at center ice at the Garden. And he didn't win, but he did pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great.
Against Brashear, that's good.
Yeah. That's what I mean. There's guys, guys like that. That's what hockey's about. You know, you're not touching my star player.
It was great.
That's what it was always about.
And then Brashear got up off the pile and suckered Aaron Ward right in the face. Because Aaron Ward, you know, lipped off to him. And he thought, oh, he's not going to do anything. He just fought Shanahan. It's right in the chops.
Speaking of the code and speaking of how it's gone to hell, or not even gone to hell, but speaking of just, you know, like the Flyers, Vinny LeCavalier used to be an upstanding guy. And Wayne Simmons used to be a king. Loved him. I hated when he had to go to the Flyers. But then we got some people back. But so did you see the fight this weekend or the brawl?
Yeah.
Simmons held somebody back, I forget who.
He was kind of hurt.
Simmons held the guy back so LeCavalier, who was a classy guy, could punch him three times.
But then
you talk about two guys that if they were on any other teams, you'd be like, they wouldn't act like that.
Right.
They go put on the creamsicle. They become jagoffs.
He hates Philly.
Oh, I do. The bus could crash.
But then Erskine came in. Oh, Erskine came in. LeCavalier got a little, I better run to the hills.
Erskine's no joke.
He's probably the last great heavyweight in the league. I mean, he's probably the best pure fighter.
Right.
That can play.
Yeah. You know.
Well, you know who I like? I don't know. What's your stance on Milan Lucic?
Yeah, he's a bit of a spot picker.
You know, and some people get offended. Bill Burr would turn purple right here if I heard you say that. Not to drop names.
Is Burr a Bruin guy?
He's a...
But I mean, it's...
Yeah. No, and he hates because he's like, what's he supposed to do? Fight, you know, whenever... Or wanted to fight him the one time, and he declined Orr.
When LaRock, you know, I think he... Who did he run in Montreal? I think he ran, like, Pacioretty, and LaRock chased him around. You know, if you're going to play... over the line, you got to answer the bell.
That's what I say about Orpik. You know, when he was a Penguin, it's like, you know what? I understand that I think fighting is beneath you, but you know what? When you run around killing people, every now and then you got to drop the gloves.
Sure.
You don't have to drop them every time, but you got to drop them every now and then. That's just the way the world works.
It's like when he ran Ryan Miller, you know, who did he fight? You know, Gostad, you know.
But I mean, that's Buffalo's fault.
Oh, absolutely.
That franchise has still never recovered from that.
Well, and that they used to be.
No, they all realized none of them had a pair. Then they went and got John Scott. I mean, the absolute worst player. John Scott, it's like getting a. They could have got, you know, Andre the Giant to put him on. I mean, the guy can't play hockey.
And he's not, for his size, that great of a fighter.
He's a terrible fighter.
I wouldn't say he's terrible, but I mean...
He is a long enough reach where no one can punch him, and he can't get a punch off.
Yeah, I mean...
Dude, he's 6'8".
Now, a team will go out and get a scorer if they've got to have one. And you got to do the same thing with a goon, right? If you got a lightweight team, you don't have any real tough guys, you got to go get somebody,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like Montreal got bigger.
They got
Paros and Moen and some newer guys who are a little bigger and feistier.
They all do. I remember when Lemieux, one of the comebacks when Lemieux came back, and like second weekend, we had a couple of big guys, but he got roughed up a little bit that week. Craig Patrick went out, got like every goon left. It was like he called up the Justice League, send everybody. And the next time there's like an offside and someone bumped him, it was before they had that you come off the bench,
right,
you're done. Yeah, like half the team came off the bench, all the Musial drinking buddies like Steve, everybody. It was like 20 guys on four. One of the best things I've ever seen, to be honest with you. But yeah, you have to load it. You can't have your guys getting run around.
Well, that was like when the Kings got Gretzky. It was awesome. McSorley, they said the deal doesn't happen unless McSorley comes with him.
Right.
Then they went out and, they had Ken Baumgartner, they had Dean Kennedy, they traded for Jay Miller. I mean, they were just loading this team with no one's touching Gretzky.
Nobody's going to touch
and
Gretzky.
It works. Yeah. It's great. Yeah.
Now, the other thing I wanted to mention today is, I know you don't like the cross-era thing, but I heard the Kings announcers last night talking about Rogge Vachon and Marcel Dion and saying how they would play well today.
Well, Dion would, because it's a little less physical and a lot more obstruction calls, and he was pretty fast.
Pretty quick, yeah.
It's tough to say. He didn't really face... Back then, you had maybe one or two guys who could shoot. Now, everyone can shoot. So
that's always what I say. The guys with the hands could still play.
But, I mean, goalies, it's like... They didn't have Sheldon Saray and Chara and Shea Weber. And
so you think the level of goalie play is higher now?
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, the equipment's more modern, so maybe if you put Vachon and,
some modern gear.
Modern gear, but it'd be tough, I think, for goaltenders.
I think the game is just so much faster. I think the guys get there quicker. Think of how fast, like three steps, and these guys are in there. I mean, Ovechkin is in there. He's right on you.
Oh,
two step. I mean,
yeah.
Crosby.
Yeah, man. Those guys are right there.
I don't know if players from the older days could play in this era.
You don't think so? Guy Lafleur and guys like that?
I mean, he was fast enough where you put him on a nice modern pair of Ovechkin skates, who knows what he could do. But I don't know. I've had this argument in other sports. I don't think Babe Ruth would be that good today because he didn't have to have... He never saw like a guy like,
he was on hot dogs instead of steroids.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, he grew.
Yeah, he did get bigger.
So, I mean, would Will Chamberlain dominate again? He was the biggest guy in the league. He didn't have to really... Now, how would he do against Durant?
Well, that's a good point. I was looking at the stats the other day. Wilt has the most amount of over 60-point games.
Yeah. It's
by
crazy.
Far. He's had like 30 of them. And
didn't he average like 50 points a game one year?
Yeah, yeah.
I think he had more 60-point games than everyone else combined.
Combined, yeah. Now, you're right, but that's what I was starting to think. I go, would he be able to do that today? Would he be able to hang in there today?
I mean, what if he had to play against a Shaq or...
Yeah, I don't know. But you know what? He was a super strong guy.
But I think centers today are awful, though. There are only like two good ones anyway.
Centers?
I think maybe like in the early 80s when there was like 10 good centers, it had been tougher for him. But today it's like you got Howard and you got like...
Yeah, today he could probably pull it off.
Yeah, I mean...
Kopitar. Oh, sorry.
Now, how good is Kopitar?
He's a very good two-way player. If he was in Pittsburgh or Toronto or New York, he'd be a superstar. Like
he's like West Coast Malkin.
Yeah, he's very strong.
But he plays
he's
a little
strong.
More defense.
He's big. Yeah,
I love Kopitar. His game is just.
He had a good Olympics.
Oh, he did.
Yeah,
it was one man versus. Is like it was him versus everybody.
I mean, Slovenia. Yeah. Like I think most of the guys on that team had jobs.
Like, yeah, he's
literally. I know. I'm not kidding.
I know. I probably. Yeah,
not even though if he was in. I think even if he was in even like almost like a different system, like if he was in Long Island where they're more run and gun.
Yeah,
instead of Tavares, I think he would be huge. Like he'd be like Tavares. I mean, Tavares is a great player too.
Yeah, he doesn't get enough credit.
No.
Now the Ducks are pretty loaded, and
Getzlaff. Oh, Getzlaff is good.
He's awesome. I told you, I saw him in the Olympics make a move. I haven't seen a guy that big make.
Yeah, he's
He's got skills.
Him and Perry are great team.
Perry's an awesome player.
I hate Perry, but he's a great player.
Great player though, and he's hot right now.
There's that great clip of him talking shit to Datsuk. They had him mic'd up. It's right off a draw, and he's like, "I'm gonna get you, you little fucking bastard."
Datsuk's pretty good though, too, man.
Oh my god,
he looked great in the Olympics.
He's a witch.
Yeah,
he got those skills. They need to get Zetterberg back though. That's another team though. Legwalm, that was a great pickup. Yeah. Getting Legwalm.
Yeah, you gave him an A on there.
Yeah,
A-minus
I did.
On there.
I certainly did. That was a great move.
Legwalm. Kenny Holland.
Kenny, he's the best GM.
Best GM.
And I'll tell you what, you know, I was a little down on their coach middle of the year, but look what he did at the Olympics.
Yeah.
I mean, he just schooled everybody once again. I mean, that's
Babcock. It was the street hockey. That's what did it.
Babcock. Yeah. I mean, that's the best one GM coach combo in the league, in my opinion. Well, LA's got a good combo, too.
I love Lombardi. I think he's a great GM.
Lombardi's pretty sharp, yeah.
I like Sutter.
Oh, Sutter's great, but he tends to wear out his welcome pretty fast. I mean, he's like almost like Tortorella, where he's, you know, I mean, he's a hard coach to play for. So after about 3 years.
You think so? It seems like I think people mellow. It doesn't seem like he's running these guys ragged.
But, I mean, yeah, but just.
Unless there's just no coverage in LA. Tortorella. Eggs people on in the newspaper. I mean,
tried to go in the locker room. Yeah. I like that.
I like
man.
That though.
Yeah, that was cool.
No, I like. I'm saying that endures your players. I mean,
you know, I love how the last two line brawls in the NHL were Tortorella. He said, "We got to get this out of the game." But
there he goes. Yeah,
I like if he went in that locker room, it would have been like when Sylvester falls into the dog pound.
Yeah,
and he's like comes out wearing like his underwear and his skin's all messed.
Yeah, it's a good thing he didn't get in there.
McGrattan was keeping him.
Yeah, McGrattan knew hey, you're crazy.
And then Bieksa in the back, if you see his little head, he was starting shit in the back.
Yeah, Bieksa wants to hide. He should hide.
That had a real potential. If
that could have got really ugly.
McGrattan actually handled himself, you know.
I thought pretty well. Yeah, he was cool about it. He just kind of stiff-armed him away.
McGrattan's old school. Like he's a old school classy goon.
Yeah, he was pretty classy.
Yeah, it's like
he just gave him the Heisman.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna punch.
So get out of here.
You know, I'm not gonna cause a.
Well, I saw his first training camp ever. He was a Kings. Prospect, and he was just a maniac in camp, and I'm like, who is this guy? And then he didn't make the team, and just, he's floated around, but he's, you know.
It's funny how guys mature. I remember seeing the preseason game when Chara was an Islander.
Yeah.
And he was like a gawky, like 18, like still had like, I think, braces, and he was skinny still, and he was like, you know, just getting in, like tripping over his own feet. And it was like, if that guy ever learned to skate, he'd be good.
Yeah.
And now he's like one of the 10 best defensemen ever.
Yeah.
He's that awesome. Was shuts down teams by himself.
His shirt was probably his rookie shirt I had, and I just sold it for like $3,000.
Did you really? Awesome.
$3,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
I bought it for $400.
Nice, Earl.
But it was so custom made. It was made out of three jerseys because they didn't know what. They'd never really had a player this size in the league.
Yeah, right.
So they had.
You got to sew three jerseys together?
It looked like a dress on.
That's cool. Now, do you sell paraphernalia?
I do now. Now I'm just getting rid of things.
Like are you?
I just sold. That helped. The Chara shirt helped pay for my podcast center.
Nice. Well, now we're. Yeah, it's a trade out. All right. What you got anything you want to sell today?
Like jerseys?
Yeah, you got any items?
I got an Eric Bolton 9/11 jersey, only 20 made, $5,000.
$5,000?
Yeah. How much was it originally?
$2,500. But wow. There were only 20 made, you know, and it was the first pro sporting event after 9/11.
Oh, okay.
And he got into a fight. There's blood on it from Sandy McCarthy, the great black enforcer.
Sandy McCarthy, you better watch that blood.
Yeah.
No, he was juicing.
Well, toward the end though, he wasn't, and then he started getting killed.
He actually had like a roid rage incident on the bench.
Yeah,
remember he was? Yeah, he was like doing like monkey imitations.
Yeah, that was him and Fleury. Well, I forget who the
Thurry and Fleury.
Eric Cairns. It was McCarthy and Fleury.
Not Marc-Andre Fleury.
No, Theron Fleury. And Eric Cairns wouldn't fight him. And McCarthy's doing like this monkey.
With like his shirt off.
Yeah.
Going on the bench.
And then Fleury's egging him. I think Fleury was boozing.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, doing these wacky hand signals and, you know.
But he went kind of nuts on the bench. I mean, he had his shirt off.
Wow.
Yeah.
On the bench.
I like that. So what about this gear? Anything else? I mean, I love that you're selling this stuff.
Well, you know, I thought when I wanted to do my own podcast, I want to do it right. So I was like, geez, I started looking at prices of the gear, you know, the mixing boards and nice mics like these. And, you know, it's about $5. So
yeah. So you got to unload.
You know, got to move a few Chara jerseys and, you know.
We just had to pretend to the Sideshow Network we had talent.
Oh, yeah.
That's easier than selling. I couldn't raise $5,000, but I could sell everything I owned. It wouldn't be $5,000. I have to sell my kid to make $5,000.
Do it. You get a nice mixing board.
I got a Red Wing flag. You know.
Got a nice mixer for, you know.
Yeah, man. Well, that's cool. So, and how much do you have? How many jerseys do you have?
I mean, hundreds.
At the peak, he had a whole room. Have you ever been?
Well, I still have a whole room.
Right, but I mean, at the peak. I mean, how many at the peak though? You probably 5,000, maybe.
No, no. I mean, probably 2,500 jerseys.
No, is there a legendary minor league fighter
that never really made it to the show? Dennis Bonvy, who had a couple cups of coffee in the NHL for the Pens. He had a few.
Yeah, in the Blackhawks, right?
Maybe Blackhawks, but he had.
He's a legend.
Yeah,
he is. That's a great. He is the. Who's the guy from you know, era Kevin Costner?
Yeah, yeah, he was the Bull Durham.
He's the Bull Durham of the AHL.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And his first NHL fight was against Probert, and he skated up next to him and said, "You're either going to make me or break me." And then he said, "Well, let's see." And they fought, and you know that's what's cool.
Who won that fight?
Probert,
of course.
But Bobby was tough.
He was tough though, right?
He was a little smaller than most guys, but he hung in there.
He's like Tiger Williams.
Yeah, he was about that size, and maybe even smaller, but built like a brick house. And I actually did a few jersey trades with him.
Did you?
Because I had all his jerseys. And he called me up and said, "Hey, I'd like to get my first goal jersey." He only had, I think, one goal in the NHL, and I had the jersey. So I said, "What do you got, man? What's in your closet?"
Wow, man. And so how are these guys when you talk to him? Was he a cool guy?
He was awesome. I probably talked to him for 2 hours asking him the dumbest questions about fights. Like, "Hey, does it hurt when Eric Cairns hits you?" And he's, you know, just dumb stuff like that.
Bonvy was in a million fights. He might be on record as being in the most fights of anybody ever.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, he had hundreds of fights in the minors and juniors and, you know. Probably one of the best minor league fights ever was Bonvy and Vandenbush, who was the Pens. It was just toe to toe. I mean,
well, when all those guys were in the minors for the Pens about 4 years ago, Shiro had to put an edict out, like no fighting. There was a camp 1 year where just everybody, other than like Crosby and Malkin, like everybody just fought the whole time. Like they couldn't even run drills.
Well, they
all they did was fight to make the team because they was like, and that's when Biz Nasty was a Penguin then.
Oh yeah, well they say
Paul Bissonnette.
The toughest camp ever was I guess in the late 80s, the Quebec Nordiques.
Really,
they had like 10 goons all trying to make the team, and it was just that they barely played. They couldn't play inter-squad games because they would. Then they tried to pair them on the same team. They said, "Well, you guys are all playing the same side," and they would fight. I mean, it was just, you
know. When you pick up a fighting penalty against your own team, that's not good. They became, of course, the Avalanche.
Right.
Right. Now, is Quebec going to get a team, another team?
Well, there's an arena already built, but I don't think the NHL sees a lot of money in TV revenue from a team in Quebec. You know, it's just...
Hamilton wants a team.
Yeah. I mean, Winnipeg, I've been to games there. It's an amazing city, and the hockey atmosphere is unlike any I've ever seen. But I'm sure the NHL is like, well, what are the TV ratings going to be if, you know, Winnipeg against Calgary on a Tuesday night?
Well, you know who wants a team is going to get one? They really want a team. I was just up there 2 weekends ago, Seattle.
Well, yeah.
That's a good idea.
That'd be a great idea. I don't want to see anyone lose a team, though. As much as I don't want to see more mediocre hockey, I don't want to see. I'd rather see expansion than a city lose a team.
What franchise do you think has the lowest draw?
Phoenix?
I mean, oh, yeah, Phoenix definitely shouldn't have a team. They got great fans there, but there's just not enough. And
well, I like them having a team because I drive there 5 hours, StubHub, and get $4 seats right behind the glass.
Beach drive to Anaheim.
It does.
On a Friday.
No, it's great, nice parking.
Well, I like the old arena they had where there was like these huge pillars in the middle of your sight line. I forget the name of the arena, but it was not very well laid out.
South Florida probably shouldn't have a team. Tampa Bay's a great franchise, but
they're a good franchise.
The Panthers should probably move, but they just have a new owner, so they'll probably stick in there for another couple of years.
And who's up for a team? Hamilton? Seattle. You think Hamilton?
Kansas City is. They have a new arena. They've been trying to steal everybody else's team.
Yeah.
But I don't see Kansas City as good. Seattle's a great city for because they lost the NBA too, and there's just a lot of sports fans. Kansas City's kind of more like a kind of a dumb kind of town. Kind of more like a they'd rather see race cars.
But I think the Kings owner owns that arena, so if anyone's got the clout to get someone in that building, it's him. I mean, he's a pretty wealthy guy.
Now, do they have a minor league team?
The Kings?
Kansas City?
They had the Kansas City Blades. I don't think they have one anymore. I have a few Blades jerseys.
Do you?
If anyone wants to buy a Darren Kemble.
Nice. How about the where was Gretzky's original team in Indy, right?
Indianapolis Racers.
Racers, right? You got any gear from there?
Not from his era, but I do have a Frankie the Animal by Lois Indianapolis Racers jersey.
Man, that's got to be worth something.
It's about $1,000.
Yeah, I love that. The Animal.
This is like home shopping.
Yeah, dude. You should do a hockey QVC.
I do have a Bob Probert jersey, but that's big money.
Big money.
Is that your only Probert?
Yeah.
What are you selling Probert
for? That's $5, and you get it.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
I kind of would like to hold on to that one.
Sure, you better hold on to that, yeah.
So.
What would be your top three favorite jerseys?
I mean, the Probert, the Bolton 9/11 shirt, just because it's such a – it was a great atmosphere in the Garden that day. And it's another one. Bugard's junior shirt.
Okay.
It's massive. It's almost like the Chara shirt I had. It's the sleeves go 5 inches past my fingers and –
Now, how do you advertise this? Craigslist?
Craigslist. There's a couple game, hobby sites, and,
And is there a clientele that you know? Is there like a...
Oh, yeah, the kind of guys who think wrestling's real and...
Yeah.
People who... you've seen people who wear jerseys at games,
All those guys are viable or potential clients.
Yeah. But it's hard to... it's a limited market... For someone to have $5,000 to spend on a jersey,
most of us who were really don't have the $5,000.
Yeah,
I'd love to have a Probert jersey. I'd have $5,000.
Well, yeah, that's awesome.
But it's
how'd you get that?
Through trade. Back in my peak, you could trade for those shirts. I'll send the guy 5 jerseys to get that one Probert.
So it's like players.
Yeah,
is there a trade deadline?
No, not in the jersey world.
Do you have any Chris Tamers?
I did have number two penguin.
Yeah, he fought Probert, one of the proudest penguin fighting moments ever. He switched hands and knocked Probert down.
Wow.
Yeah, Probert said, "You feel lucky, kid?"
Yeah.
Because Tamer was about 5-0, like a good 5-0, like KO, TKO. So it was a big thing. Oh, we're going to play the Blackhawks. I went to a sports bar way back in the day and saw that in the corner. Probert cornered him, and he went lefty on him. Boom! One punch right in the chin, put Probert down.
See that leg going lefty will fool you.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't been such an honest guy, but because I saw the shirt of all times autographed. Kevin Smith, the director.
Oh, sure.
He left it up at the Lovitz Club. He was doing his podcast out of the Lovitz Club, and then he switched over to the Improv. So he went over there, and he left an autographed Gretzky jersey, Oiler jersey, 99, up on the wall there in a back room.
Right.
And no one was there, and I thought, man, I'm going to grab that. And I go, nah, I can't do it. But Gretzky autographed Oiler jersey. It's got to be worth something, right?
It's probably not worn, so... It's probably $500-$600 just because of the autograph.
Oh, is that it, huh?
Yeah. I mean, if it's game worn, I mean, his shirts go for $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 and up.
Really? If it's worn?
If it's like, but it's there's one collector who pretty much has every Gretzky jersey.
He's got all the Gretzky stuff.
He's like the Edmonton trainer or whatever.
Yeah. Well, Ian, you got to be careful with jerseys like Gretzky's. You know, obviously people know the money to be made, and it's easy to fake wear on a shirt. Very easy.
No one's trying to make knock off Pierre Leroux or Francois Leroux junior shirts. No. So. Is that really Frankie?
Yeah.
I can't tell.
You know, I was looking at when Jager scored his 700th.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, that was awesome. And but then you look at Gretzky's goals, and you're like, wow.
Yeah, oh, Gretzky.
Did you see the one Jager just scored yesterday?
No.
He just beat like four. It looked like
he still got it.
It looked like he was wearing the mullet in 93. Came in, beat four guys, wicked wrister.
Oh,
boom.
He's one guy I don't mind having a mullet.
Yeah.
I wish. If he never did the KHL, even with the strikes, he'd be second probably if there's no KHL.
Now, what if you took your KHL winner against the NHL winner?
Look what happened in the Olympics, and they had half the NHL. The KHL is a minor league.
Well, yeah, I mean it's I don't think it would
be. You got any Russian jerseys?
I do. I had a friend of mine, Brandon Sugden, who played. And the KHL last year, he sent me one of his jerseys because the team was a little strange in their payment methods to him.
Okay.
And I said, how much do I owe you? He's like, fuck him. I took it. You can have it.
Wow.
And he was, I had another friend who was supposed to play for that team whose plane crashed. You know that? Locomotive.
Yeah.
He was signed to play for them, but at the last second he switched teams and he would have been on that plane.
Wow.
So they like the goons over in the KHL. It's entertaining.
They do? They're into it?
Because for so many years, they didn't really allow fighting in Russia because no one did it. And now these older goons from America and Canada would come over and they'd be like, wow, this guy's great. Who is this guy? You know?
Now, who's the best Russian goon ever?
Nazarov. I mean, they've never really had a great Russian fighter, but Andrei Nazarov was he was pretty entertaining. He'd headbutt guys, you know.
Gates? Was his name?
Link Gates.
Was he? Oh, he wasn't Russian, though, I guess, right?
He was probably, maybe, he might even surpass Bonvy just for his legendary status.
Yeah, he was a legend. Like, he would fight teams. He would fight cities. No, he would.
Really?
Yeah, he got thrown out of leagues. Like, he was insane.
But he was, there's the best quote ever in hockey when the North Stars drafted Mike Modano. He said, well, we drafted Modano in the first round. We drafted Link Gates in the second round to protect Modano. In the third round, we drafted a lawyer to protect
him. Well, he was a shark for a couple.
He was very good.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had a Gary Busey-style motorcycle accident. And I actually talked to him on the phone once.
Did you really?
Because the same thing. Someone told him, hey, this guy in California is collecting all your jerseys. So I'm talking to him. He's like, hey, I want to put you on the phone with my mom. And so I'm talking to his mom, and she takes my address down and says, I'll just send you all his jerseys here in a box. And, you know, Earl, my son's really misunderstood. He's a great guy. And literally the next day, he got kicked off the team he was on for fighting it with the owner of the team in the bar.
He's misunderstood.
Yeah, but he was...
By the owner.
He's a legendary guy because he would... He was just like the Probert of the minor leagues, but he was crazy. He played on like 26 teams.
Wow.
Kicked off every team.
Yeah.
I think because he's understood, misunderstood.
Just a legend.
Yeah, because he was good. I mean, in San Jose, he was really fought Probert a few times.
Yeah.
He held his own, fought Koser, held his own. And then I think he had a problem with the powdered refreshments.
Ah. Those will get you.
Yeah, I mean, he has legendary stories of, though, like, just like, he, like, almost like Bigfoot, you know, where he'd be like in a town in Austria and they have to like call in the National Guard and hide the women and children. I mean, like, he was like, he's an animal.
And
like,
I have,
you gotta love those kind of guys.
Just people just afraid. Yeah. People are just afraid of him.
Well, yeah, he was just 6'3", 250, just probably the funniest Gates story I have is in this goon league in Quebec. He wasn't playing a lot and he was pissed at the coach. So he gets up off the bench, goes to the hot dog stand, and orders a hot dog in his gear. and just eating in the lobby as the game's going on.
No, I love that. That's the Jay Johnstone story, too, who's coming on next here. Jay did the same thing as the Dodgers. I still saw that picture. It was the greatest picture ever on the LA Times front page is Jay in his Dodger uniform during a game in the hot dog line.
Yeah.
It was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Well, someone took a picture of Gates. He's got like mustard stain. I was sweating. But you know,
now, if you had a Gates jersey with a mustard stain on it.
I tried to get that jersey. I'm like, I got to get this jersey. And the best thing about Gates is he would customize his jerseys. Like he'd have this U-shaped collar so you couldn't grab on. Like,
that's slick.
He'd have Velcro sleeves. So when you would grab onto his sleeve, it would tear away.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So he was like,
this guy's a genius.
Oh, for a guy who probably wasn't the brightest guy, he was a demented genius.
Yeah, you got to love those. Well, listen, we want to thank you, Earl Skakel, for joining us today. Fantastic guest. Fantastic.
The best.
Yeah. I love
the
Joe. Man. I love Frazier. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. And you want to plug some stuff?
Just my podcast, Inappropriate Earl, on iTunes and all that stuff.
Cool.
I try and get guys I like you guys I would love to have on. And
from a state-of-the-art studio.
Well,
yeah. Now we sold all those jerseys.
I mean, I wouldn't say state-of-the-art, but tomorrow I have Tawny Kitaen, who was in the Whitesnake
video. Oh, man, love her, man.
I'm going to have to jack
She's
off.
She's a goon. She beat the crap out of that.
Chuck Finley.
Yeah. Chuck Finley, yeah.
Chuckles.
Yeah, with Chuckles. With her shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd pay for that.
You get her blouse on there.
What a great guest, though. eBay. She's awesome.
I don't usually jack off before I interview somebody.
Hey, come on. That's a Whitesnake video.
And she was in all the Rat videos. And
yeah, she's awesome.
She
man.
Dated Seinfeld for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And great guest.
Tom Hanks. And so.
Oh, look wow, that's a good
guest. Andrew Skakel.
Yeah,
well, look, not yet.
Well,
not yet.
After this podcast, watch out. Well, thanks for joining us, buddy. We really appreciate it. And his stand-up is great, too.
Yeah.
And love his stand-up. Yeah.
Well, I love you guys a lot, man.
Thanks, buddy. And great show once again.
Great show.
Joey?
I will be live at Gotham next Thursday.
Hey, congratulations on that, man.
Access
That's awesome.
TV and
yeah.
at Pittsburgh.
That's great.
Pittsburgh, PA at the Rex with the great Craig Gass on March 29th.
Hometown gig.
Then we start the Bill Burr Monday Morning Comedy Tour, San Francisco, 8th and 9th of April.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Meanwhile, I'm at the HaHa on Tuesday. All right. You guys have a good week. Thanks for joining us here.
Thanks. Thanks for listening, everybody. We love all the feedback.
We do love it. Thank you. And puck off.
Yeah. Puck it.